We've been talking about faith. Last week, we asked, what kind of faith do you have? Do you have an inherited faith? Do you have a blind faith based on emotion? Or is your faith evidential? Sunday night, for another couple of Sundays, we'll be dealing with challenges to faith. Tonight, we will begin our discussion of evolution. Today, I want to ask you to think about your own faith. What good is it? What does it do for you? Some of our brothers are being forced into the Ukraine military. Their families, in some cases, are probably being escorted out of the country, realizing that the men of the family will probably die. It's hard to imagine. Does faith have any value? Is it worth anything? What is the evidence? You know, God's covenant with man is based on man having faith. Back in Deuteronomy 31, verse 20, as God was talking to Moses, God says, I have brought Israel into the land which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat. They are turning to other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. That's the history of Israel. Moses said this right before he died. But if you turn to the next chapter, beginning with verse 16, verse Deuteronomy 32, beginning with verse 16, that's reality. Here's what it says. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. And with abominations provoked him to anger. The him here, of course, is God. They sacrificed to devils, not to God. To gods, small g, whom they did not know. To new gods. They came recently, and your fathers did not respect. Of the rock, capital R. It gave you birth, you are not mindful, and you have forgotten the God that formed you. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them and said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation. Your Bible may say froward. That word froward means perverse. They are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faith. Boy, that's a pretty good picture of America today, is it not? A country that has turned to gods, small g, be it materialism, be it secularism, be it humanism, be it evolutionism, be it some Eastern God. But God's greatest blessings don't come to people who do not have faith. And we're not talking about material things here. If you're a Christian because you want a gold Cadillac, you're in the wrong place. Material things don't bring happiness. One of the things that I've always noticed is that people that have a lot of things are generally pretty miserable people. The history of the billionaires is not good. Their marriages don't hold together. They don't find satisfaction in life. What brings satisfaction in life is love. peace, real friends, security, a lack of fear, success in what matters, and real freedom. You know, it's interesting to me that right now this thing in the Ukraine, the Russian people are rebelling. There are riots. Putin has imprisoned 7,000 people in Russia right now for resisting what he's doing. See, faith allows you to do what you couldn't do before. The faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 3, is a list of people that did things that they could never have done before. And yet they did them. In Matthew 17, beginning with verse 16, there's a man who was possessed and the disciples couldn't help him. And Jesus responds to them, he says, "Oh, faithless and rebellious generation." That's verse 19. They say, "Well, why couldn't we help him?" And Jesus says, "Because of your lack of faith." You know, last week, we have some of our members who have done some incredible work. Hundreds of hours, literally, have been spent helping a man who couldn't help himself, Leon. We have people who have gone to court. We have people who have spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours hauling bags of trash. Jesus goes on in that passage, "I tell you this, if you have faith no bigger than a mustard seed, and if you say to this mountain, move from this place to that place, it will move. And you will find nothing to be impossible." Now, it's not talking here about moving mountains made out of rock and clay. It's talking about having the strength to do what most people could not do. Most people aren't going to spend a couple of hundred hours of their time helping someone who will never be able to repay it, where there's no money involved. But faith gives you that kind of strength, and it gives you that kind of satisfaction, that kind of joy. So one of the great blessings of faith is having a covenant relationship with God. In our Bible class this morning, we talked about Jesus coming down to the time when Judas and the band of theologians come to imprison him. And his response to them is, "I am." And the Hebrew word that is chosen by Jesus there is a covenant name for God. But faith also allows us to avoid being fearful. In Mark 4, beginning with verse 34, we have the familiar story of Jesus and the disciples being in a ship in a storm. And he calms the storm in verse 40 of Mark 4. And then he turns to the disciples and says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" See, faith is critical to believing that God can make things happen that are extraordinary. In 1 John 4, beginning with verse 16, John writes, "There is no room for fear in love. Perfect love banishes fear, because fear suggests punishment. If a man fears, there is something imperfect in his love." Now, it's not talking about the natural built-in fear when something scares you. That nasty dog next door may precipitate fear. That's not what we're talking about. The criminal world in which we live may instigate fear. That's not what we're talking about. But we as Christians do not need to fear political issues. I don't know whether America's going to survive or not. I love this country. I served in the military. But no matter what political party you're a part of now, it's sad. But you know, the first century church prospered under Roman rule. China has tried to persecute Christians, and yet the church in China is growing. Our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine will survive. I hope they survive as an independent country. But if it's under Russian rule, it will survive. The church is doing well in Russia. John Cooper, who did the series that we have studied on archaeological support for the existence of Jesus as the Son of God, he goes to Russia. He speaks at universities in Russia. There's widespread acceptance of his message. You don't have to worry about political issues. Yeah, they're a bunch of jerks, I know. But no matter what they do, they can't change our relationship to God. The worst they can do is drive us underground. You don't have to worry about being successful. What is real success? You know, one of the things that's been interesting about our ministry has been the fact that we have never tried to become big, and I'll put that in quotes. And we've had people that have said, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. Why don't you put an advertisement in Time Magazine, etc. I want to serve God. I don't want to be successful. I don't want my name on the front page of some magazine. I want Jesus to be the one we lift and show people. What's real success? It's how you live. It's what you do in relationship to others. You don't have to be afraid of health issues. I'm so sorry that Denise is having the sciatica. That's very, 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 very painful. And she is a sweetheart. I think almost all of us have been touched in one way or another by her generosity. Howard is doing well, but what a struggle. I mean, you can go right down the list and say, well, I may die. Yeah. Sometimes dying is not a bad thing. My son Tim was ready to die. My wife Phyllis was ready to die. Those health issues never were an overpowering influence on our lives. We don't have to be afraid of relationships. If you're a Christian, they will work. I've told you this story so many times. Cindy and I got married in a hurry. Not for the usual reasons. I still remember Bill's granddaughter coming up to me and saying, you know, if you guys don't quit messing around, there'll be a baby. I said, no, there won't. One positive thing about a hysterectomy, there won't be a baby. But our marriage was based on our Christian relationship and still is. My relationship with my kids has survived because of our common faith. My best friendships are brothers and sisters in Christ. For a time, we were with a congregation where friendships were discouraged by the leadership. you were considered to be a clique that threatened the leadership. That finally got to bed. We had to leave. That's why we're here. What a joy it has been to be with you and to be here. And to have those kinds of relationships, even with those of you on Zoom. Parents and children. You don't have to be afraid. Following God's will let you survive. And you don't have to be afraid of your salvation. You know, that is so important. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, Peter writes, "The Lord is not negligent in fulfilling his promise according to some people's conceptions of slowness. He bears patiently with you because it is not his will," listen to this, "it is not his will that any should be lost." God doesn't want you to be lost. You know, I think some of us have the idea that God is some kind of an angry, mean, vindictive God who wants to send us to hell. That's wrong. That's absolutely 100% wrong. He bears patiently with you because it is not his will for any to be lost, but for all to come to repent. If you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about the future. I'm not worried about Tim. I'm not worried about Phyllis. I know where they are and what they are. And there are a ton of folks in this room that could say the same thing. I'm not worried about Maylene. Neither is Bill. Yeah, we feel sorry for ourselves. But faith removes the fear. So you say, "Well, I've got a terminal disease." Are you a Christian? Yeah. You don't need to worry. Absolute worst thing that can happen is you can get out of here a little earlier. That's the worst thing. And that's good. Faith allows us to avoid being fearful. And faith brings huge, huge blessings to us. I don't think many of us realize how important freedom is. What's going on in the Ukraine right now is a battle over freedom. What the riots are in Russia is a rebellion of the Russian people against an oppressive Hitler demagogue who is trying to remove their freedom. One of the tragedies of Islam is that it tends to remove freedom. Galatians 3, beginning with verse 23, says, "Before faith came, mankind was kept under the law." Yeah, because Judaism did not offer freedom either. "The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for all mankind can be children of God in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus." Freedom! Real freedom. So you didn't come here today because you were forced to come here. You chose to come here. You weren't forced to go on Zoom because somebody had a camera in your house and you were going to jail if you didn't adhere to it. Oh, you had freedom. You had to turn it on. See, faith sustains and it protects us. And so Ephesians 6 and verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Do you understand that? Your faith is a shield. A shield against what? A shield of faith. that can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. See, Satan's going to come after you. He came after Christ. We studied that. He came after Job. Well, you can go through all of Scripture, can't you? But we have a shield, and faith will repel Satan. Satan doesn't like people who have faith. And when he's resisted, remember what happened with Jesus? Satan left him for a season. He realized he wasn't getting anywhere. Faith brings forgiveness from God. Romans 1 and verse 17 says, the gospel is God's plan of righting wrong. It is the way of faith that leads to greater faith. See, when you see God act, when you see things happen in your life that couldn't happen by materialism, by politicizing, by any of this other stuff, when you see that happen, your faith just grows. He shall gain life who is justified through faith. When our brothers and sisters in Ukraine come out of this horrible situation, their faith will be incredible. Hebrews 10:38 says, but the upright man will be the man living by his faith. But one of the things I hope you've gotten out of our discussions of faith over the last 2 months is that faith is not something that we are powerless about, over which we have no control. But I think we want God to push a button to give us more faith. And the Bible doesn't show that happening. In Mark 9, beginning with verse 20, you remember the story about the man with the epileptic son? In verses 23 and 24 of Mark 9, Jesus said to the father, all things are possible to him that believes. And the father of the boy said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help me where my faith falls short. King James says, help my unbelief. See, Jesus doesn't push a magic button for that father. What happens is the father looks at the evidence when his son is healed. Oh boy, does his faith jump. In Luke 17 chapter, the apostles come to Jesus and say, Jesus, give us more faith. And that's the passage where Jesus talks again about faith as a grain of a mustard seed. There's no magic button. See, God is not going to miraculously zap faith into you. So how does God do it? And I know I've beat this one to death maybe, but the classic example is Thomas. I think I've pointed that to you before, that in John 20 and in verse 24, Thomas is the most powerful of all the disciples. The Bible says in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So what's Thomas saying? God, give me evidence. Let me see. Let me experience something that will grow my faith. And if you look back at your life, you will see things that have happened in your life that could not possibly have happened by chance. Are you willing to let that grow your faith? When you read on, We're told that after 8 days, the disciples were then and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Thomas, because you couldn't believe, you're going to hell. Goodbye." Is that what he says? That's not what he says, is he? He doesn't say, "What's the matter with you, Thomas? Everybody else had faith. Why don't you have faith?" He didn't do that. He said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here. Here's my hand. Look at it. Put your finger in there. Thrust your hand into my side. And stop being faithless, but believing." Why have we had all these lessons of faith? Why are we doing Sunday night through the end of March? Why have we been doing all this stuff? Because we want to look at how God has provided a basis for faith. This is critical. There's so much stuff being thrown at you by Satan to try and undermine your faith, to try and destroy your faith. But God has given us tools to build our faith. You have to be active in building your faith. But if you are, God will provide. God's Spirit helps your faith when you obey God. In Acts 2, beginning with verse 37, Peter is talking to people. The disciples are talking to people. We only have Peter's account, but all of the disciples were involved. And the people's faith had grown to the point where they had faith in Christ. Because they had been taught, they had been given evidence. And what happens? "And when they heard this, it went straight to their hearts." Where's your heart? Are you open to the evidence God gives you? "And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'What shall we do now?' And Peter said, 'Each one of you must turn from sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" What is the gift of the Holy Ghost? It's the strength to build faith to the point where you can do what you couldn't do before. So what does your faith do for you? That's a question you need to ask yourself. What do you have faith in? Because if your faith is in a boat or a car or money, you're in trouble. But if your faith is in God's power, if your faith is in the Holy Ghost and what it can do in enabling you to do things you couldn't do before, God bless you. Let's get to work. If you're not a Christian, I urge you. Let your faith begin. And if you're a Christian and your faith has wavered, oh yeah, there's so much out there to affect us. But let's pray together that our faith can be strong and that we can, in fact, be what God calls us to be. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing. Won't you come?